Log Talk Radio.
All praises to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our Elohim, who has come to redeem us from the grips of the captivity, mentally and physically, of the heathen and Gentile nations, who has come back, turned his face to us, allowed us to enjoy some shalom for a time that is fast approaching for us to enter into the kingdom to come. It is our redemption. It is our salvation. We're no longer looking for salvation through the world, through a heathen, through a Gentile eye. We don't care. We now seek it through our Elohim. And today I had been, all day I just been in this meditated state for tonight. And I wanted to tell this story of when I was younger. 1986, we're going to regionals to play a semifinal to get into the final of regionals, to go play nationals. And that year, the playlist for our team and for me, because I ran the playlist, was all Bob Marley. And I used to sing this song with passion and with great love and great spirit. I used to sing this song. And I never knew why. Every time I sang, I always get choked up and I always would shed a tear. But I never understood why, but it always hyped me up. As much as it brought me to a solemn place, it always brought me up. And now I understand why. And now I understand why. And I want to share it with you. Tells of us, tells of our story, the words. It is us.
Redemption song.
from into slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, cause none of them can stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? It's all I have. Redemption song. All I ever had. Redemption song. These songs of freedom. Songs of freedom.
And just like that, that song makes all the sense. All the sense. You know, we have sat here, I mean, for the last 7 years, and we have raised our level of understanding, raised our thoughts. We've come from bottom thought to a top thought. And for some strange reason, the nations seem to believe that we still are at a bottom thought. Listen, this is our redemption. This is our salvation. Never mind what things are going on, what has gone on, what is going on, what will go on. This is our salvation. And brothers and sisters, you need to grab hold of it. We ain't got to worry about the Israelis. We ain't got to worry about the Ukrainians, we ain't got to worry about the Russianese, we ain't got to worry about the Englishese, we ain't got to worry about the Europeanese, we don't have to worry about any, we don't have to worry about the Americanese. All we need to worry about is our Elohim. Because at this moment in time, if we do not see his hand, then you are blind. And it's amazing to me, it's just such an amazing thing. It's like that. It's like Bob was saying, you know, it's our, this is my redemption song. This is our redemption song. You know, the same passion that they crying out, that this world is crying out for these fake folks, these who say they are but are not peoples, when it comes to their sanctity of occupation, you know. And listen, I don't care about what they got going on over there, but I'm kind of indifferent because, hey, Palestine, aka the Philistines, had to pay for what they did to us, to our people. They had to pay. Amalek has to pay for what they've done to us. And I know, like, you know, if this is, you know, hearing this from a awakened Israelite perspective makes sense. But those that are still asleep in a Christian and an Israeli and a Jewish or a Hindu or a Buddhist psyche, it's not resonating. And it's not supposed to, because it's not for you to understand what we're saying. This is for us. It's not, again, Bob told you, it's our redemption song. This has nothing to do with the other nations. I mean, it doesn't have a single thing to do with them other than them to be able to see us and be amazed at our redemption. Why? So that they can then turn around and cleave to us and give credence to us and worship our God, our Elohim, to come back under the fold. That's what all this is about. It's not about, you know, I know this or I know that. No, this is about us getting redeemed and the world to see it. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. And that's all done by the hand of our Father. It's not by my means, not by my might, nor yours. This is all glory to the Father. And that is such a beautiful thing. That gives me great emotion to even be in this state. Again, that's why I was talking about 1986. I'm listening to this music, Bob Marley. I'm all into Bob. I got the box set. I'm sitting there listening to a CD, popping them in. And this is the song that always resonated with me. Never knew, never understood why until today. Never understood that was my spirit, my ancestral spirit, singing that to me. To have my spirit resonate, so at the time that the change instituting his awakening, I would be there. I would be in it. Hindsight's 20/20, of course, but I'm looking back as I'm moving forward. As I'm standing in the present, and you know, we see what's happening today. You know, we see that these people are straight up, straight down struggling, and unbeknownst to themselves of how to come up out of it. They're talking about Israel, the Israelis, like, you know, they are true Israel, and that okay, some people got destroyed. I hate to see people being destroyed. I'm not a fan of righteous vengeance. I'm not a fan of destruction and woe. However, I know that it is all the will of the Father. I got nothing to do with it. So I take a step back and I stay quiet and stand still while it's being done. But at the same time, these people are all up in arms about what, oh, these people got beheaded and the babies and all. And the Father, the Spirit said, hey, you see that this is what they're saying, but you remember that this is what they did to your people, to my people. And I go, well, it's still sad nevertheless. Yes, it's sad nevertheless, but redemption is of Israel. Salvation is of Israel. So as these things are occurring, they don't want to talk about what the history has shown. They don't want to talk about the last 80 years of Israeli occupation and what they did to the babies of the Philistines, I mean Palestinians, the babies, the wives, the men, the raping. They don't want to talk about any of that. Just like they don't want to talk about the same things that they did over here, the baby gator, the gator baiting our babies, the raping, the murder, the enslavement, you know, the captivity. They don't want to talk about any of that. This is the same MO that they've been using. The Dutch used it over in the Philippines. The English used it in Africa. The French used it in Africa. The English used it over here. The Ukrainians used it in Israel or Palestine against the Philistines. These same people have been doing the same thing over and over. And the Indo-Europeans, those that claim to be Indian from India, are doing it to our people over there, the Brahmins. This is the same people, the same MO. And, you know, when they come with the same passion and we shut it down by going, but wait, what about us? They tell us to shut up. They don't like that. They don't want to acknowledge that. And it is a sad state of affairs where they don't even want to acknowledge, even in their passion, acknowledge the right thing, which makes them hypocrites. This is about us. This is about our redemption. It's about the Negro, so-called Negro's redemption. They don't understand that, hey, we're at peace. The strangeness of our peace, the strangeness of our shalom. They can't even understand that. Right now, they definitely don't understand it because they're too busy being upset at what's going on in the world. Now, you know, you know, if we would have had, if these people today, with all their love and all their passion and all their, you know, their hate or disdainment for violence, which, side note, you know, the Hebrew word for violence is Hamas. Hamas was created from the Israeli to cause what? Violence. All these things are happening, but, you know, they you know, if they would have all, you know, if these people today were the people, were their great-grands and their great-great-grands and their grands and their parents, we wouldn't even be in a situation where now. If these kids today, with all this passion and love and hatred for violence and want to get along, were their parents, we wouldn't be in this situation today. See, those are the woulda, coulda, shouldas that they don't want to talk about. You know, if you all woulda done this, then, you know, that we wouldn't be in this situation now. Or rather, you wouldn't be in this situation now. You all would have done the right thing. We'd have been awakened, and we'd all been heading into the kingdom of coming, a righteous society. Are you not tired of this wicked-ass world yet? Are you not tired? Not Israel, because I know true Israel is tired of it. Hence why we're even in this, having these conversations now. But ask them the question. Are you not tired of a wicked world? To watch a degenerate old man all over the place rule you? A Khazarian, Germanic, Indo-European rule you? No one rules you that looks like you, but they want to rule you. And when you stand up tall and witness against them, they tell you to shut up. Are you not tired of this? I know Israel's tired of it. And that's why we're going to sit back. I should use myself. That's why I'm going to sit back and I'm going to watch. I'm not going to create any commotion. I'm not going to take sides. I'm not going to be against or for, because none of it matters in the big scheme of things. These are all the things that's got to play itself out. And they know this. That's why they're trying to come at, oh, we all got to, can't we all get along? No, nigga. No, we can't all get along. No. No, there's no getting along until, listen, there's no justice. There's no peace without justice. And there will be no justice without peace. And there will be no getting along until you acknowledge and repent for what you've done in the past, what your people have done in the past, not you. It don't matter. I'm not interested in your sins. I'm interested in your people's sins, because if you have the same passion for us in the repentance and the redemption of true Israel as you do for these fake folks, I mean, things would be in a better, you would feel better. The Gentiles would feel better. The heathens would even feel better, because they would see that, hey, that's the right thing to do. It's just the right thing to do. You know, it's just the right thing to do. And I, for one, am tired of having to deal with it, and be imposed with the straight triflingness of this world. I for one, I'm just tired of it. You know, I watched John Wick last weekend, the latest one, John Wick 4. Pure unnecessary violence. Pure just killing. Like, these people, how the hell can you be a righteous nation and what you show
on your movies, what you give the people to be entertained by is pure evil. Like, I'm just killing, just murdering, just, I mean, throw the commandments out the window with the baby. It don't even matter. Just kill indiscriminately, unnecessarily. Just kill, steal, destroy. But yet, I'm supposed to believe that your Jesus and your commentary and your breakdowns and your philosophies and your principles and your leadership is righteous. It's like, come on, enough's enough. This is our redemption song. This is our redemption song. This is about our salvation. That's why none of that stuff even bothers me. And it shouldn't even bother you, because it's of no consequence to us. The consequences now befall them. And if they got any awakenness of true spirit in them, they too will be at ease right now. And I think, in my opinion, I think that that's how we're going to know who's with us and who's not. It's going to be a way that they're going to be at ease with things. And we're going to be like, oh, you at ease too? Okay. Oh, your spirit seems to be at ease. You seem to be in shalom. Come on over here. It's like now they're saying, oh, well, you know, this Israeli thing is going to come over here and terrorists is going to. Listen, we've been under a terrorist attack since 1492. We ain't scared. It ain't even a puzzle no more. Every time we look around, they terrorizing us. They terrorizing us mentally and psychologically by not acknowledging who we are. They terrorize us. The terror has been here. The terror are them boys, you know, them boys of them women's who won't acknowledge their own fallacy. They won't acknowledge it. They won't even deal with it. So they're terrorizing us with their wickedness. And yet they don't even want to acknowledge truth. They don't even want to accept reality. They want to stay in their fantasy, in their vain imaginations. But that's okay, because the Father said all eyes will see. All eyes will see. So this isn't, so I don't have to fight the power. I know the revolution won't tell us. I know that it's the revolution's in the spirit. That's probably the one true thing Flavor Flav said. Or was it Chuck D? Well, let's just say it was P.E. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is about our redemption, our salvation. As long as we're continually on the right path of being able to climb the ladder of Jacob and see below us the fallacies, the atrocities, the ignorances of the nations, then we have come up out of her. We have come up out of her. This is why, you know, these scriptures are alive today. They're more alive than they've been in forever. More alive today than forever. You know, there's something to that. You know, his word is a living word, and it lives through us. It's like blood in our veins. This is what it's about. You know, a lot of these camps and a lot of these Christian Hebrews and a lot of these Christians and a lot of these Judaism and all these religious people, they want you to believe that, you know, you have to be part of something. In order to be part of the body of Yeshua, you have to be connected with them. See, that's wrong. They're the cancer. So the more that you are part of the cancer, the more you will be cut off. When the physician comes in, the great physician comes in, the great physician comes in. So now everybody is trying to figure out why the hell we have no fear and why we getting our comeuppance here at the end. And to come up and say, we all making millions of dollars. No, we just get things the way we're getting things that we've never gotten before. And we are humbled with getting them. And people don't understand that. They don't understand that concept. You know, we bright. It's like I keep seeing, because I work downtown. There's a bunch of nations all up in there. And it's funny, you know, I get in the elevator and, you know, I just kind of stay to myself and get up to the floor that I'm getting on. And they all want to talk. Some of them, not everybody, but they all got this spirit that they want to say something. And I'm not standoffish. They say something, I converse and I keep it moving. And the spirit says that they've never seen that. Me doing that has made their day. Because they've never dealt with us before. They have never dealt with us before. So because they've never dealt with us before, I have to make sure that I'm dealing with them in a righteous way, because that's my works. That's my works. Let me see something here. Where did it go? We know the Father does not like hypocrites. And this is what the whole world is now doing. This is what the Israelis got the whole world doing right now, being hypocrites, okay? Forget the Negro in America. They weren't even up in arms when they were told what the French was doing over in the Congo, in Africa. They weren't even upset about it. There was none of this passion that they've got, the hypocrites, okay? So, you know, Titus 1:16 says, you know, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. We're starting to see this is the shakedown. Father is shaking cats down right now. And people are not able to handle this shakedown. They're crumbling. They're falling. Oh, oh God, I'm done. Oh, I've fallen and I can't get up. No, well, you're about to get stomped on. Not by me, but by the Father. It's not, and you know, I know brothers and sisters and, well, God don't want to take any, he doesn't like destroying the wicked. No, he doesn't, but he will. I mean, he destroyed his people. Look, we are the benchmark. Okay. We are the benchmark. Did he destroy us? Were we wicked? Yeah. Did he take great joy in it? Not necessarily, but did he do it? Yeah. So what makes these folks not going to take the same ass whipping? Listen, everyone's got to meet their moment of truth. Everyone's going to take their comeuppance. Everyone. There's no reason for us to be naive about that or feel some sort of way about that. No, these feelings that we should have is feeling straight for the will of the Father. All about the will of the Father. And like I was saying, you know, you got these camps, you got these other Christian Hebrew Israelites who want to say you got to follow them, you got to be part of our group to understand we're the only ones, you got to call them by Yeshua, you got to say Yahweh Shai, you got to say, whatever. You know, listen, the fact is that you have to do this thing. This is an individual walk, and on your walk, individually, you meet the collective. He's not saying, okay, I want all of you guys here. See, that's Christianity. All of you guys are going to be in this kingdom to come. No, he's saying, okay, wake up. You walk this way. Wake up, you walk this way. You over here, come on, walk. Because you got to do something. You got to work for it. See, Christianity and these other Hebrews, they don't think that you should work for it. They think you should, well, the Hebrew Christians think you should work for it, but you have to work for it under their premise, how they view their. So, you know, if you ain't, you know, all about the Sabbath, or you ain't, you know, studying 7 days a week, and you ain't quit your job, and if you didn't, you know, divorce your partner, your husband, or they don't want to do this, you know, that's stupid. That is a variance not by Christ, because Yeshua wants everyone to be loved. He has to, he's a teacher. So why would he be cutting throats at the first whim of someone saying, well, I don't want to do that? No, he's a teacher. And we're not the teacher. He's the teacher. He's the master. We're just the disciples to show others how our master, what our master is teaching us. And we're not doing it as the Gentiles have done it through, you know, the communication telling you, well, I tell you that this is the way Jesus did things. No, this is by our works. It will be evident through our works. It will be evident through our walk, which is a work, which is a verb. Years ago, I talked about this as a verb. This is action. When you put faith and works together, man, you get to move a mountain. And when you got more than one, you get to move an ocean. When you get more than 1,000, you get to create the kingdom to come. This is where we're headed to. This is how we are, the few of us that are trying to feng shui ourselves, if you will, our feng shui our minds from this wicked ass world that we live in. The you know, trying to maintain our disposition amongst these wicked heathens and Gentiles, these ridiculous, ignorant churchgoers who call us out our name, these fake Israelites who will come and worship at our feet and know that he has loved us. When all things are said and done, the Father will prove to the world who we are, and we will have salvation. We will have our master. And matter of fact, that's the good news. See, everybody been running around, and he said it. He said, when my gospel is preached throughout the entire world, then I'll come back. Well, what's his gospel? The salvation of Israel, the redeeming of Israel. That's his gospel, that he's come to show all this to redeem his people. So all of this is now being taught. It's being, and whether they liked it or not, it's being taught. Why do you think that these Israelis had to create some commotion with their Hamas violent people that they created to stir it up? Because all of a sudden, this gospel is being, you got the brothers in, you got our cousins in Africa, our brothers and sisters in Africa saying, hey, you know what? We, the Israelites. You got us over in Europe saying, yo, we, the Israelites. You got us in Asia going, we, the Israelites. You got us in America's going, we, the Israelites. That's the gospel. Why is that the gospel? Because that's the two witnesses. And what does the two witnesses do? It convicts these fools. It convicts all the foolish nations, and it convicts them to go. It convicts them to fight. Is that not what the Father has always done? He's made the heathen and the Gentiles and the other nations fight against themselves. This is what we're about to say. This is what we're about to see. And it's interesting because the Valley of Jehoshaphat, you know, some brothers want to say the Valley of Jehoshaphat's over in Jerusalem. Okay, that's fair enough, whatever. I'm under understanding that the Valley of Jehoshaphat is the Ukraine, because we ain't finished with the Ukraine yet. Because that's Khazaria, the Ukraine. That is Khazaria. You know, that's the land that they stole originally from our people Genghis Khan. Genghis Khan was the ones that were fighting, always fighting against the Khazarians, who would move them all the way to the Ukraine from the land of the East. That's that history. That's why they don't talk about Genghis Khan, because they were destroying the Khazars, the Khazars. So, Valley Jehoshaphat, where's all the weapons going? They're going to say, well, we're going to Israel. No, they're going to go into the Middle East, and they're going to move that stuff. Listen, these people these people are not slick anymore. You can see it a mile away. They're moving all. Now they've got a reason to move all their weapons over to that side of the three parts. Now they got a reason to do it. And don't think for a minute they ain't going to go north and they ain't going to go south. They're going to move some over. They're going to give some to the issues, and they're going to put the rest of it over in the Ukraine. And the other boy that is the president there, he's going to be done away with, because all that stuff's going to fall under Netanyahu. Why? Because this whole thing, these Israelis are going to have to get out of that land, that Palestinian land. Everybody's going to go back to their land. And they're going to end up back in Poland and the Ukraine. And they're going to be mad and they're going to want to fight. And that's what's going to happen. They're going to be mad and they're going to want to fight. And it's to the east. Listen, from the east is where all this is going to come. China, Russia, and they're going to come to their land. So the three parts. Why? Because the three parts has so much blood on its hands. Yes, there's blood on their hands over here, but they're going to be back over there. They lead this place. And we talk about nuclear. Listen, you don't got to do a nuclear bomb. You could just do napalm, destroy and burn for a long time. I mean, if they hit some of these oil pockets and these gas reserves that's over there, it'll burn for 7 years. It doesn't have to be a nuclear bomb. Why would the Father destroy his entire creation? The land, the whole thing is about the land crying out to the Father, just like the people are. The land wants to be redeemed as well, because the heathen and the Gentiles have been on it, destroying it. So why would the Father come down? What sense does that make for the Father to come down and go, you know what, I'm just going to burn everything? That sounds like Satan. That sounds like the Gentile. So no, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen like that. He's going to bring them into the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and he's going to watch them fight each other. They're going to blow each other up. They're going to shoot each other with their tanks and their guns and their fancy flying machines. But he ain't going to let them shoot off no nukes. You know, Russia's going to do a nuke. Nah, man. Again, that doesn't make sense. It's not real. It doesn't seem spiritually reasonable. The land did not do anything to it. The land needs to be free too. Psalms 46 and 10. The Elohim of hosts is with us. This is our good news. This is the redemption. The Elohim of hosts is with us. The Elohim of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold, the works of the Elohim with desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am Elohim. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Elohim of hosts is with us. The Elohim of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. I mean, so our Father can't bring them all over there and automatically, you know, just burn each tank individually. He can't destroy everything individually and leave the land alone. This is what he's saying. He breaketh the bow. He's not going to let them destroy any more of his. When he's on his way back, when he's here, when he's handling his business, he ain't going to let them destroy his land, his first creation. Don't be so coy with this. Israel, stop with that stupid fear. The earth does not want you to fear for it, just like the Father don't want you to fear for him. He wants you to be at peace, rest, just like he told the earth, rest. Now, the blood that's going to spill on the earth will cleanse itself. All this talk of nuclear war, it's really, you know, these are the imaginations of people, because this is something that the heathen has brought forth, the Khazarian heathen has brought forth to say that they have the power of God, of a God, to be able to destroy it all. But they didn't create anything, so what gives them the right or the power to destroy it all? Why would the Creator allow them to do that? It doesn't make sense. What will happen, though, is they will be destroyed. That much is clear. How they're destroyed is of no consequence to us. It doesn't matter. When we fix our eyes on their destruction, then we also will be destroyed. Because we are distracted and deceived by their destruction. We need to continue to fix our eyes on the Father, on Yeshua, on the kingdom to come. All the rest of it is his business. See, that's the other thing. There's our business, the Israelites' business. There's the heathen, Gentile, other nations' business. And then there's the Father's business. We don't need to be bothered with the heathen nation Gentile business, and we don't need to concern ourselves with the Father's business, because none of that is our business. Our business is a direct link to the Father via Yeshua. That's our business. Our business, matter of fact, our business is Yeshua. That's our business. And the kingdom to come. That's our business. The rest of it is no consequence. However, we have to discuss these things in a reasonable and rational manner for our people to understand and have no fear. And have no fear. It's like, okay, so these people who say they are but are not. So when is this? Okay, so we're going to talk about the four horns and the four craftsmen, or the four carpenters, real quick. And this is in Zechariah 1, okay? And we're going to start at 18. Oh, we're going to start at 12, Zechariah 12. Pardon me. Then the angel of the Elohim answered and said, O Elohim of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And the Elohim answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Elohim of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. I'm very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased, and they help forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Elohim, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it. This is another, more good news. In it, saith the Elohim of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Elohim of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Elohim shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the... Wait a minute. Let me turn out a second. Listen to the ebonics of that. If this ain't our people, you don't... Listen to the ebonics. Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And I would say Judah, Israel, we know, that's the whole house, and Jerusalem is his, they went in, they sacked Jerusalem and took all of the gold and the artifacts, okay? And the Elohim showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. Okay. All right. So, this is more good news that, this is good news and confirmation of who's who. Of who's who. We don't have to continue to entertain these fools when the scriptures are telling us who's who. Okay. And this is, what is this? And this is Sorrow of the Heathen. Thus saith the Elohim to the house of Israel, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain. So, we got the Ring of Fire coming up this weekend. And we've had all these things in the sky, and every time that something in the sky happens, they run amok all over YouTube, all over, oh, we're gonna have this, oh, we're gonna do this, oh, I want to see the moon, oh. And to me, it's like, thank you, Father, it's a sign to show that you are coming, you are here for us, that we are being redeemed. So as they're being dismayed at these things because they don't understand them, we're being redeemed because of these things. That's the good news.
It's 1 Thessalonians 4:13.
Then I'm going to do 4:12 through 14. Then you will behave properly toward outsiders without being dependent on anyone. Brothers, we do not want you to be uninformed. Wait. I ain't playing a silly kid game with these fools no more. They always love to give. And that's the other thing. The older the information, the better the information. The more recent the information, the more lies within it. The more, much more lies. That's why they don't deal with history very well. Because the older you go back, the more it tells on them. So they want to change everything so that they cannot acknowledge their history. So it all seems cool and good and fancy and fun and does not hold them accountable. But I digress. Okay, good news again. 1 Thessalonians 4, we're just going to read it real quick. Let's see. Yeah, it's not too far, not too much. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Elohim, by Yeshua, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please Elohim, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by Yeshua. For this is the will of the Elohim, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not Elohim, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that Yeshua is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For Elohim hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but the Elohim, who hath also given us given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of the Elohim to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in the in all Macedonia. We're just going to say in all the world. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, there it is, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Yeshua will Elohim bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Yeshua, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of Yeshua shall not prevent them which are asleep. For Yeshua himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of the Elohim, and the dead in Yeshua shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet Yeshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with Yeshua. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is not a rapture. Or matter of fact, it is a rapture. Let's go back. Let me
just do this real quick.
It is a rapture. It's a feeling of intense pleasure or joy to be with Yeshua. Absolutely, it's a rapture. But that's not. But this isn't a heathen Gentile rapture. You ain't escaping nothing. That's not what this said. It didn't say anything about, listen, you're going to escape. We're going to escape all the accountability, and you know we're going to put you in the heavens. Come on, heathens. You guys don't get to misuse these words anymore. That's why we're using the words properly, and we're talking to the people who resonate, who these words will resonate to. If I say this to a heathen or a Gentile, that's not going to resonate with them. They're too much in fear. This is not going to give them peace. It's not going to give them shalom. They don't believe in the rapture in the first place. They've been kicking that can down the road. You know, December 10th, you know, June 14th. Just shut up, Gentiles, nations. You guys do no longer have any authority over these words. You did when we were asleep because the words were not alive. Now the words are alive. Why? Because the Israelites are alive. There it is. We're alive. Our words are alive. This is how it works. This isn't hard. It's not difficult. And I get it. It's tough on you when you've been lied to and won't accept the truth. But fooey on you has nothing to do with us. We're going to move on. First Baruch 4. This is the book of the commandments of the Elohim and the law that endureth forever. All they that keep it shall come to life, but such as leave it shall die. Turn thee, O Jacob, and take hold of it. Walk in the presence of the light thereof, that thou mayest be illuminated. This is what we're heading for, so that we can be illuminated. Oh, the Illuminati did it. No. Give not thine honor to another, nor the things that are profitable unto thee to a strange nation. O Israel, happy are we, for things that are pleasing to our Elohim are made known to us, known unto us. Be of good cheer, my people, the memorial of Israel. This is beautiful words. Beautiful. Ye were sold to the nations, not for your destruction, but because ye moved your Elohim to wrath. Ye were delivered unto the enemies. For ye provoked him that made you by sacrificing unto devils, and not to your Elohim. Yea, ye have forgotten the everlasting Elohim that brought you up, and ye have grieved Jerusalem that nursed you. For when she saw the wrath of Elohim coming upon you, she said, hearken, O ye that dwell about Zion. Elohim hath brought upon me great mourning, for I saw the captivity of my sons and daughters, which the everlasting brought upon them. With joy did I nourish them, but sent them away with weeping and mourning. This is the land. Again, we're going to blow up the land. The land's over here weeping and mourning. It's upset that we ain't been alive, that we were going to die. So are Elohim going to come back? I'm going to just blow it all up. What the hell is this? Now, again, he will blow them up, not by nukes. He's going to let them blow themselves up using their cannon fire and their bullets. But I digress. Let no man rejoice over me, a widow and forsaken of many, who for the sins of my children am left desolate, because they departed from the law of Elohim. They knew not his statutes, nor walked in the ways of his commandments, nor trod in the paths of discipline in his righteousness. Let's time out for a second. Let me ask the question right here. Has the Israeli done this? I mean, they're sitting in a land that they call Jerusalem, but Jerusalem's weeping for the Israelites to come back. But the Israelis over there? What the hell is this? You playing with me? But that somewhere doesn't make sense, but we know. I digress. Let them that dwell about Zion come and remember ye the captivity of my sons and daughters, which the everlasting hath brought upon them. For he hath brought a nation upon them from afar, a shameless nation, and of a strange language, who neither reverenced old man nor pity child. Now, let's talk about that. Neither reverenced old man or pity child. They crying about what Hamas did to them over there, but they've been doing this. They've been doing this. They've been doing this. These have carried away the dear beloved children of the widow and left her that was alone, desolate, without daughters. But what can I help you? For he that brought these plagues upon you will deliver you from the hands of your enemies. Here's the good news. Go your way, O my children. Go your way, for I am left desolate. I have put in the land saying, leave, get out of here now. Let me be left desolate. So if it's desolation in the land that we left in 70 AD, how all of a sudden is people back in there talking about it's not desolate? Again, I digress. I have put off the clothing of peace and put on upon me the sackcloth of my prayer. I will cry unto the everlasting in my days. Be of good cheer, O my children. Cry unto Yeshua, and he will deliver you from the power and hand of the enemies. For my hope is in the everlasting, that he will save you, and joy is come unto me from the Holy One, because of the mercy which shall soon come unto you from the everlasting, our Savior. For I sent you out with mourning and weeping, but your Elohim will give you to me again with joy and gladness forever. Like as now, let's slow down, going too fast. Joy and gladness forever. That's a rapture. And the land saying that he's good. So the land will be joyful. Is the land joyful over there? All they doing is bombing over there now. Like, and again, that's if you want to take the belief that is the land. Okay? That might be a smidget of the land of Israel, but that's not, I'm sorry, a smidget of the land of Judah, but that's not even an eighth of the land of Judah and Israel combined, okay? For I sent you out with mourning and weeping, but your Elohim will give you to me again with joy and gladness forever. Like as now the neighbors of Zion have seen your captivity, so shall they see shortly your salvation, good news, from our Elohim, which shall come upon you with great glory and brightness of the everlasting. My children, suffer patiently the wrath that has come upon you from Elohim, for thine enemy hath persecuted thee, but shortly thou shalt see his destruction and shalt tread upon his neck. My delicate one, so, you know, this is This is where we're at. This is what's going on. This is where we are being redeemed. My delicate ones have gone rough ways and were taken away as a flock caught of the enemies. Be of good comfort, O my children, and cry unto Elohim, for ye shall be remembered of him that brought these things upon you. For as it was your mind to go astray from your Elohim, so being returned, seek him 10 times more. That's what we're doing. We are seeking him. We could give two filth florins about these filth florin nations. They are dung to us. Their logic is shite to us. Their principles, their philosophies are garbage to us. And again, that's not us being all rude and nasty and obnoxious and, you know, arrogant and confident and conceited. That's just us being very confident in our own Elohim. And who are they to tell us we are not allowed to do that? By whose authority do they have to tell us anything when they can't even lead righteously? They can't even lead righteously. Back up off me. Back up off, like, back out of my face. Get out of my grill. Your breath stinks. Your eyes are red. Your lies are spewing out. You got nothing for me. And I'm not being mean. I'm just saying, you got nothing for me, man. You got nothing for me. And this is this confidence. They wonder, where do these niggas get this confidence from? Well, it's because we now are being redeemed. It's a beautiful thing to us. It's a beautiful thing. And no, they've never seen us be redeemed. They've never seen that. That's an amazing thing to them. They are completely caught off guard. They're going, wait, these niggas over here waking up? Wait, Hamas is fighting? Wait, we got a fight over here in Ukraine? What, Africa's doing this? But wait, these niggas over here waking up? Well, somehow we got to stop. We can't stop them. Wait, we got to go over here and fight. Wait, what we'll do is we'll institute a draft.
There it is. We're going to institute a draft. We're going to have to do something to get rid of these niggas because we can't have them waking up.
So that's what this is all about, a draft. To get our brothers, our sisters, our sons, our daughters into some sort of conflict with them to take our eyes off of our Elohim. Seek him 10 times more, for he that hath brought these plagues upon you shall bring you everlasting joy with your salvation. Take a good heart, O Jerusalem, for he that gave thee that name will comfort thee. Miserable are they that afflicted thee and rejoice at thy fall. Is that not what we're seeing? Miserable are the cities which thy children serve. Miserable is she that receiveth thy sons. Excuse me, for as she rejoiced at thy ruin and was glad at thy fall, so shall she be grieved for her own desolation. For I will take away the rejoicing of her great multitude, and her pride shall be turned into mourning. For fire shall come upon her from the everlasting, long to endure, and she shall be inhabited of devils for a great time. O Jerusalem, look about thee toward the east, and behold the joy that cometh unto thee from your Elohim. Lo, thy sons come, whom thou sentest away. They come gathered together from the east to the west by the word of the Holy One, rejoicing in the glory of your Elohim. That's beautiful. It's just beautiful. It really is. I'm going to give you this ass whooping, but I'm going to take you get some ice cream afterwards. But you're going to have to endure this ass whipping for a time. But you can get some ice cream of your choice. That's beautiful. That's parenting. That's leading. That's how that looks. That's righteousness. That's righteousness. It's beautiful. It's beautiful how we getting redeemed too. It's just an amazing thing to sit back and truly watch. I mean, when you start observing how people are treating you in the spirit, see, you know, what they're going to say is they're going to come to us and they're going to go, well, do you stand with Israel? Well, my answer is going to be, yeah. Yeah, I do. I stand fully with Israel. See what I'm saying? Like, they're not even going to be smart enough to understand their own wordplay because they're going to try to trip us up. Now, if they come at us with the, oh, well, do you stand with the Israelis? I'm going to be like, well, I stand with Israel. See what I'm saying? What are they going to say? Well, which Israel are you? Gotcha. Gotcha, Nick. Gotcha. Which one are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about the Israelis. But wait, I thought that they were Israel. See what I'm saying? Got them in a trick bag. I'm telling you, the Father has these jokers where they can't do anything. That's why all they're going to be able to do is play their hand, and their last card is going to be a draft. It's going to be a draft. That's all they got left is bodies. I mean, and their people's bodies are all obese and, you know, poisoned up. But our bodies are strong. So they're going to try to use us. And, you know, a lot of the Latinos, whatever that were, I mean, how you can be a Latino or Hispanic, I don't know. But, you know, they're going to be all about it. They're going to go into war. They're going to be trying to fight because, you know, they Catholic. And they're going to be like, yo, we got to say, you know, whatever. But our people, hopefully by that time, the Father has pushed us to the side and he's allowing those that he is willing to give up for a moment. Because, I mean, he can have them go over there and some of them get redeemed there. Now, this is going to be a beautiful thing. Like, it's just going to be like anything that I'm talking about now or even anything that I'm thinking about, anything that we've ever think, it's going to be a zillion times more, but I digress. Let's get to the second headdress, see where I want to start. Let's go. And it came to pass upon the third day, I sat under an oak, and behold, there came a voice out of a bush over against me and said, Edris, Edris. And I said, here I am, Yeshua. And I stood up upon my feet. Then said he unto me in the bush, I did manifestly reveal myself unto Moses and talked with him when my people served in Egypt. And I sent him and led my people out of Egypt and brought him up to the mount of where I held him by me a long season, and told him many wondrous things, and showed him the secrets of the times and the end, and commanded him, saying, these words shalt thou declare, and these shalt thou hide. And now I say unto thee, that thou lay up in thy heart the signs that I have showed, and the dreams that thou hast seen, and the interpretations which thou hast heard. For thou shalt be taken away from all, and from henceforth thou shalt remain with my son, and with such as be like thee until the times be ended. For the world has lost his youth, and the times begin to wax old. For the world is divided into 12 parts, and the 10 parts of it are gone already, and half of a tenth part, and there remaineth that which is after the half of the 10th part. Now, therefore, set thine house in order and reprove thy people comfort, such as them as be in trouble, and now renounce corruption. See, this is what we've been doing over the last 7 years.
We've been doing it now, therefore set thine house in order and reprove thy people, comfort such of them as be in trouble, and now renounce corruption. That's what we've been doing. Let go from the mortal thoughts. Cast away the burdens of man. Put off now the weak nature, and set aside the thoughts that are most heavy unto thee, and hasten thee to flee from these things. And that was, I mean, what? You can't even make this up. For yet greater evils than those which thou hast seen happen shall be done hereafter. For look, how much the world shall be weaker through age. Got to digress for a second. Through age, is that not, so these old, cantankerous, caucasity people are so weak. Why do you think the world is coming after them? They're like, yo, you old as dirt. We ain't listening to you. We can take you out. I can kick you in the groin, and you're going to just drop dead. They don't care because they're old and weak. So much, for look how much the world shall be weaker through age, so much that the more shall evils increase upon them that dwell therein. Isn't that what happened? For the time is fled far away, and leasing is hard at hand. For now hasten the vision to come, which thou hast seen. Then answered I before thee and said, behold, Yeshua, I will go as thou hast commanded me and reprove the people which are present. But they that shall be born afterwards, who shall admonish them? Thus the world is set in darkness, and they that dwell therein are without light. For thy law is burnt. Therefore no man knoweth the things that are done of thee, or the work that shall begin. But if I have found grace before thee, send the Holy Spirit into me, and I shall write all that have been done in the world since the beginning, which were written in thy law, that men may find thy path, and that they which live in the latter days may live. Thank you. And he answered me, saying, go thy way, gather the people together, and say unto them that they seek thee not for 40 days. But look thou prepare thee many box trees, and take with thee Sarah, Dabria, Selimia, Ikanis, and Asiel, these five which are ready to write swiftly. And come hither, and I shall light a candle of understanding in thine heart, which shall not be put out till the things be performed which thou shalt begin to write. And when thou hast done, some things shall be published, and some things shalt thou show secretly to the wise. Tomorrow, this hour, shalt thou begin to write. Then went I forth as he commanded, and gathered all the people together, and said, hear these words, O Israel, O fathers of the beginnings, were strangers in Egypt, from whence they were delivered, and received the law of life, which they kept not, which ye also have transgressed after them. Then was the land, even the land of Zion, parted among you by lot. But your fathers and ye yourselves have done unrighteousness, and have not kept the ways which the highest commanded you. And for so much as he is a righteous judge, he took from you in time the thing that he had given you. And now are ye here, and your brethren among you. Therefore, if so be that ye will subdue your own understanding and reform your heart, ye shall be kept alive, and after death ye shall obtain mercy. For after death shall the judgment come, when we shall live again. And then shall the names of the righteous be manifest, and the works of the ungodly shall be declared. Let no man therefore come unto me now, nor seek after me these 40 days. So I took the five men as he commanded me, and we went into the field and remained there. And the next day, behold, a voice called me, saying, Edras, open thy mouth, and drink that I give thee to drink. Then opened I my mouth, and behold, he reached me a full cup, which was full as it were with water, but the color of it was like fire. And I took it and drank. And when I had drunk of it, my heart uttered understanding, and wisdom grew in my breast, for my spirit strengthened my memory. And my mouth was open and shut no more. The highest gave understanding unto the five men that wrote the wonderful visions of the night that were told, which they knew not. And they sat 40 days, and they wrote in the day, and at night they ate bread. As for me, I spake in the day, and I held not my tongue by night. In 40 days they wrote 204 books. And it came to pass, books. It could have been scrolls, right? It could have been scrolls. But anyway, that's something just to think about. And it came to pass, when the 40 days were filled, that the highest spake, saying, the first that thou hast written, publish openly, that the worthy and unworthy may read it. But keep the 70 last, that thou mayest deliver them only to such as be wise among the people. For in them is the spring of understanding, the fountain of wisdom, and the stream of knowledge. And I did so. Hallelujah. Thank you, Edris. Thank you, Father. Here we are. We moving right along. We're moving right along. Revelation 11:13. Now this is all coming to a big picture, this big picture of things, because this is where we at, and we got to grab hold of it, because if we don't grab hold of it, who will? If not us, who will? If not us, who? Revelation 11:3, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, a temple of your Elohim, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Is that 40 again? 40 days, 40 nights, 40 and 2 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy. They shall prophesy 1,260 days. Clothed in sackcloth. So wait, time out. Who are these two witnesses? Well, let's take a look. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Elohim of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceed out their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. Time out. Now, ever since we began to waken, and we started prophesying about started discussing the prophecies of this book, and prophesying in terms of the old, the current, and the new, everything's been changing. Everything. And the two witnesses, he's not going to let us know who the two witnesses are, meaning he's not going to let us know what tribes we are until we walking up in the kingdom. That's for our safety and our protection. So all these Negroes running around talking about, I'm Judah. You don't know who you are. I said it before. You don't know. You don't know who you are. You just know that your spirit is awakened. Therefore, you are likened to Israel. So stop. Miss me with all this madness of I'm Judah. Because all that does is keep you over in the three parts. You forget about the Americas. You act like that God just, that our Elohim just created all this stuff and then forgot about the Americas. Turtle Island. Forgot about it. I don't remember that. It's just it's up for grabs. Are you kidding me? Do what you got to do. Stand up like in Ezekiel, because the two witnesses is Ezekiel, right? It goes to Ezekiel. and you know, Brother Judah put on there that dude, I don't remember his name, some fella who is a Gentile, who, you know, again, they love to use the NIV because they love to use that, because these words are more English, and they've been transliterated. They've been stepped on. Now that the words don't even mean the same. So, you know, some fool prepper. But anyway, If Israel, if, well, hold on a second. What is this? This is, yeah. So the two witnesses, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, that they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Saying to them, thus saith the Lord, the Elohim, behold, I will take one stick of Joseph. I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. That is what Revelation 13, the two witnesses, is talking about. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks, because it goes on to talk about talks about the olive tree. Stick and they should be going in when the children the sticks were in will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone and whether they and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land of mountains, and one king shall be king to them all. This shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. This is the two sticks. This is the olive tree. This is the witnesses, the whole house of Israel, which only makes sense because the whole house of Israel will witness for the whole, for their Elohim, our Elohim. But I was going to say this part right here. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into the kingdoms any more at all, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim. Okay, time out. Is that what's going on over in Israel today? In with the Israelis today? No, that's the number one pride place going on over there. They're all up in their idolatry. They're all up in their vanity. They're all up in their idols. They're all doing detestable things. They're all about their transgressions. They're all sinning today. They're not clean. So, again, all these people who want to come at us and talk about those are the people, and all, fine, that's fine. We know the facts of the matter. We know the truth. The facts are that in order for Israel to be in the land, a couple things we know have to happen. One, man will study war no more. Shoot, they go into war. They in the land declaring war. Okay? That's an oxymoron. That's foolishness. That right there tells you who they are. Or who they are not. And they're supposed to be clean. They're supposed to be righteous. And who's the only people on the face of earth right now that's trying to clean themselves and be righteous? Us. We. That's who. It's us. Those that are being redeemed. The rest of the world's all in their folly still. In their vanity. Trying to kill. Trying to steal. Trying to rape. In their lust. Looking at ass, titties, ding-a-lings, everything else, lusting after it. Looking at money, material things. Nobody's into the spiritual. We're the only people that are talking like this. We're the only ones that are saying, I want to be clean, Father. I want to be righteous. That's how we know what's happening. That's why we do not concern ourselves with their business. That is why. Let's see. Whew, I've been rolling, but I don't know if I'm going to get through all these. Let's see. And he goes on to say that right here. And this is why I pulled this one up. Isaiah 43. I want to read the whole thing, but I'm not going to be able to. So I'm going to start here. Since thou was precious in my sight, I got to start from the beginning. We're just going to go over a little bit. All right, let's roll. But now, thus saith Yeshua that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Hallelujah. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee. Excuse me. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Elohim, I am the Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Since thou was precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Time out. Call by my name. This is why they change our names. But see, our names are written inside of us, and they can't take that away from us. That's why it's resonant. That's why we're waking up. That's why we are his people. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witness that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is true. Ye are my witnesses, saith Yeshua, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no Elohim form, neither shall there be after me. I am the Elohim, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange small God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, he's telling us, saith the Elohim, that I am your Elohim. Yea, before the day was I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Elohim, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Elohim, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Elohim, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horses, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. I'm sorry, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offering, neither thou hast honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering or weary thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together, declare thou, that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princesses of the sanctuary and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. That's why we know that those folks over there ain't the people, because they ain't given, they ain't cursed, and there's no reproaches. That's the good news for us. This stuff has happened. Now we're being redeemed out of it. This is the good news. Let me see. And we're down to the last reading. And this is it. This is it. This is it. This is it. And these are the words that the Elohim spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Elohim, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass that it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Elohim of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve their Elohim and David their king, who I will raise up unto them. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Elohim, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. That is what's happened. That is what has happened. That is what has happened. And Jacob, the whole house thereof, shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. This is what they see out of us now. We're not afraid. We're quiet. We ain't talking a bunch of mess to them. We dealing with us. And we're at rest. So if this is what will happen at the end, why are those people over there calling themselves us going to war? So here's the flip side. The flip side is, they want to be us. Okay, fair enough. Now the whole world's going to hate you. Now you're going to be cursed. Now you're going to feel some sort of way. Now you're not going to be who you say you are. And you're going to come to us and worship at our feet. And this ain't my words. This is the Spirit's words. This is the Father's words. And I hope that the story I tried to put together through these words, through the scriptures that I chose, made sense, that made a story. And the story was that it is our redemption, our salvation. And hey, if the heathen, and I doubt the heathen because they do heathenish, but if the Gentiles wake up and are blessed enough to hear these words and recognize what we're saying and cleave to us and come over to our side, come to the force, come to the light, then so be it. That's the will of the Father. But don't think for a minute that me or anybody else has to stop and carry your ass over to us. That's not going to happen. Because we don't care. That's not our business. That's your business. And now that you want to be us, be us. Be us in front of the world. And let the world start hating on you like they hated on us. Be us. We'll see how you fare when you ain't got no blessing. We'll see. You think that Saudi, all the Arabs are going to be your boy? You think that old man Joe's going to save you? Where's your God? Where's your little G-O-D? Israeli? So stop playing with us. We ain't even bothering you. We ain't even tripping. We over here seeking 10 times our Father. 10 times times 10 times. And we ain't worrying about you. We ain't worried about you. And just remember, Israel, that this is our turn to be at peace. This is our turn. There's going to be a lot of things happening in the world going forward, as we already should know, as it all ramps up to 2024. We should know that things are going to be real low for these fools out here. We shouldn't get caught up. We shouldn't be tripping. We should be trying, we should be cleaning ourselves and working for the Father and treating our brothers right and sisters right. That's what we should be doing, as well as making sure that we right. But that's a given. That's a given. Even to be that's a prerequisite to even be in this class. To make sure you write first. Remember, if the righteous scarcely make it in, you already know that these other jokers are. And again, that ain't our business. Don't get distracted. Don't get deceived. Stay in the will of the Father. Stay chasing after the Father. And stay loving our Master, our Messiah, Yeshua, Yahushua. Stay in his way. Treat people the way you want to be treated. That's his way. And chase after our Father. Because this thing is on. This thing is on and popping. And I close my eyes right now and I try to, and I look into the future, and this thing is not nice for them. And it's sad because it doesn't need to be. But it is what it is. Remember, we are rich and he knows our tribulations, but we are rich, Israel. All praises to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All praises to our Elohim and Yeshua, our Messiah. Shalom.